Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Let's give it up for America's number one funny man, Rodney.
What's up, party people? It's your boy, Rodney Perry, in the building today. Super duper excited about this show. Let me tell you something. This is Friday. You've been doing your thing all week. You've been being amazing. And we are here to appreciate you. No matter where you at in the world, you got to stop and show yourself some love today. You're working hard. You're going into that job. You take care of your family, and nobody appreciates it. Let me bring in my co-host, Christine the Cougar.
Hey.
Carolyn, how are you, Christine?
I'm amazing. Amazingly tired, but I'm amazing.
Right. You look amazing. I love your background, the walls, the sun kissing your right cheek. I love it. Okay, Christine. You've leaned into the cougar.
Yes, hard.
You rocking the grays. Yeah. Did you ever dye them?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I did it for like about, I think I started graying in my 30s.
Really?
And yeah, early 30s. My family has, we premature gray. My brother was gray in high school.
Really?
And I started in my, yeah. And he had a beautiful head of hair. And I'm looking at it like, do I really want to keep doing this? Because gray hairs are stubborn. They don't agree with color.
Yo.
Especially the front ones.
Gray hair is a menace in society. They be hard little hairs. They don't want to act right. They the thugs of the hair world.
They gangster. And they say, no, I'm not doing that. And you can use Beijing, Dark and Lovely, Just for Men. Anything you want to use, you can crayon that joint. It's still not going to take.
Like, I've been dyeing my hair recently, but even then, it'll still be some of them to be like, nope.
Just right here. And you got to do that every week to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I was thinking of getting a wig, though, because I want to, like, one day I just want to flip it on people because everybody thinks I look young in the face. So I said, I'm going to get me a wig. I don't want to color my hair ever again, but I just want to get a wig
and
walk in a spot one day and just mess people's head up like, oh, shoot, who that young girl?
But you know what? Have you thought about white?
No.
Like, you know, going lean further in. You know what I'm saying? That could be cool. All right, y'all. Sharon, I see you. Andromeda is in the building. Marie Jones. OMG. Do any of the ladies have a crazy ex? A crazy ex. You knew he was a maniac when you was with him, but now y'all ain't together no more, and he still be tripping.
I damn sure had one of me them.
You had one of them?
I had me one of them. And the funny thing was, when I started,
how did you ultimately break it off? Like, how do you break it off with your crazy ex?
Actually, he helped me help him. He said he was moving into his auntie's house, and I actually moved him into his new girlfriend's house.
Really?
Yes.
So you just had to be his friend.
I had him living, you know, I'm a caretaker. This is why I stopped dating, because I think I need a break from caretaking. He was living with me at the time, and then, you know, things started to get dicey. And you know, these men kind of like get their way into the next lady situation before they out of their situation. And I moved him in. He said he's moving in with auntie. I got the U-Haul truck and everything and moved him to his new girlfriend's house.
Really?
Yes.
Who are you? Who does that?
I didn't know that's what I was doing. And then when we broke up, I started doing stand-up, and he started noticing, hey, this girl is out in these streets, and then started to get really jealous and overprotective of a situation he no longer wanted to be in, but he wanted to be in it. That was the crazy part.
Wow, ain't that something, man? Hey, y'all, it's Rodney Perry. You're tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. My co-host for today, Christine the Cougar, Carolyn, Miss Christine.
Yes, sir.
Are you really a cougar?
I believe I am, but people always want to redefine you and give you another definition of who you are. So lately I've been getting granny, and I didn't know there was such thing as a granny, but
Are you a grandmother?
I'm not a mother or a grandmother, but I would prefer to be called auntie. And the funny thing is that I've even heard Lunell say that. Don't call me granny, call me auntie. Because it's like kind of like, I don't want to wear a badge of honor that I don't have, but I'm an auntie all day. And I am a cougar because this is the thing. And I didn't even know I had it in me. This young guy just walked up to me. And like, I tell this joke on, well, I tell this story as a joke on stage because it really happened. And I am officially a cougar now because he was half my age.
Get out of here. What do you like about the young man? Is it his outwardness? Is it his youth and vitality? You know what I'm saying? It can be all physical, or can it?
It's physical to a sense, but there is an attraction, especially when some of these younger guys are a little bit more aggressive. So they will come at you in a way that I get the aggression, but it's like overly aggressive and they just get right to it. It's like when an older guy walks up to a young girl, I'm like, look, what you gonna do for this? So it's the same thing with them, like, you know, but they're not paying me. I'm just like here for the good time and we go out, we have some fun. But the situation happened, I would say twice. It's not like I'm out here randomly picking up young guys.
Hey, it's okay. But you know what? I think as a woman, as you just kind of lean into your womanhood, so what?
And that's, you know what the I mean? Thing. And that's the beauty of it. Cause when you get to a certain age, like who are you? I don't have to justify myself to anybody. This is my life. As long as I'm not hurting anybody and they not hurting me, and we all agree. What we say, fair exchange is no robbery.
Fair exchange is no robbery. My co-host for today, Christine the Cougar, is in the building. Joining us as well, I wanted to bring back this segment. I know tons of lawyers, and my friend Ursula, I call her, her name is Ursula Langford. I call her Ursula Esquire. She is a lawyer. And one of the things, Christine, I want to do with this show is I want us as Black people to pay attention to what's happening on the legal landscape so we're not... we're not tripping off of a police that are doing wrong at the last minute. You know what I mean? Let's pay attention to what's going on out in these streets. Ursula, how are you, first of all?
I am wonderful.
They done sent you black. I hear you. Hey, if you can, when you get back up, what's up, Marie Jones? Hey, let's see if it'll pop back in. Let's see if it'll pop back in, Ursula. If not, go out.
There you go. There she goes.
Oh, she's there. Can you hear me? Hello?
There she goes.
Can you hear me?
I hear you, but you sound like you're on walkie-talkie. Here goes. I'm going to take you out. Turn your phone landscape, and then I'm bringing you back. Okay, dot. Yes, perfecto. Are you on your Wi-Fi at the crib?
Hold on, I'm gonna probably go black. Hold on, let me check, because I think I am. I should be. Hold on. I was trying to do it on my MacBook.
Let's let Ursula get herself together. So much stuff happening in the news. Did you see this? Speaking of dudes that don't know it's over, let me show you this one, Christina. Goodness gracious. Now, you remember a few years ago, Matt Barnes got into it with Derek Fisher over his I don't think they was even exes at the time. But, you know, I mean, you got to know your guy is volatile. Am I right, Christina?
Absolutely. You can pick up the signs. The behavior is apparent. You know.
So this is Matt Barnes. So Matt Barnes said, here's the story. Former NBA player Matt Barnes is captured on video spitting in the on his fiance's ex-husband. She's remarried. during a conversation at the Dallas Cowboys game against the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday, January 22nd. Barnes detailed his side of the story while filing for a restraining order in Los Angeles County Court against his girlfriend, Anessa Sims, ex-husband David Patterson Jr. Oh, goodness gracious. Man, Matt Barnes, he's so light-skinned. He turned into a pretty, he getting his, he a pretty volatile dude, right?
I think he was mad about them Dallas Cowboys losing. Was he a Cowboys fan and just decided to spit on?
Hey, Hawk Shoe. Goodness gracious.
I'd take this out of somebody.
Oh, my God. Somebody got to deal with this. Ursula.
Yes, I'm here.
There you go. Ursula, that right there is Christine. And you are Ursula. I wanted to talk to my lawyer friends about some of the things going on out there in the world, man. Can you bring us up to speed on a couple of items?
It's so much. I don't even know where to begin because it's a mess. These legal streets. I mean, because you think about it. I've never seen, or maybe I just haven't been that aware, laws changing as fast, as drastically, and so many at one time. Okay. There's just so much out there that you could talk about from the social side, from the family side, from the business side, from the judicial side.
All right, pick one and give it to me. Pick one and give it to me. Whatever you say.
Well, I don't really want to talk about, let me say the changes in laws, because a lot of them haven't been changed. A lot of them are before the Supreme Court still. So, and they have to still rule on a lot of those. You have everything around, starting from the abortion issues. You have voter suppression laws. You have changes to tax on affirmative action use.
Okay, let me ask you this, Ursula. Mike Tyson, a lady came up this week. Mike Tyson, she says Mike raped her in the 90s. Is there a statute of limitation on this type of behavior at all? And should it be? What's your thoughts?
Well, I'm not a criminal attorney, so I would not know if there's, maybe I should. But when it comes to, the law always provides for that there is a statute of limitations on things. Hold on. And I do believe there should, because we go back to the Me Too. And so, and where people bringing up things from 30, 40 years ago.
That's what I was saying. That's yes, what I was just thinking of Bill Cosby. The Bill Cosby thing. Right. How far back?
A woman should have a right to assert something, to assert an allegation against her and to defend herself or to prosecute the harm. But then the balance becomes, when is it too much? 30 years. A lot of people say, well, you don't know what a rape victim has gone through. They are afraid. They don't want to be ostracized. They don't want to be looked at bad. They don't want to, or they could have been paid. Could have been threatened. There are a lot of parameters that probably have kept a lot of people from speaking, which makes them bring it out 2 years later when they see someone else get that to do it. But I'm always on the fence with that because I think there should be some type of limit to it. And I was looking up because, again, I said I'm not a criminal attorney, so.
Well, no pressure. Let's move on. Moving on. Let's look at this, man. There was a story this week on a famous DJ. He's a producer, DJ Mustard. DJ Mustard on the beat. Him and his wife separate. She had a forensic accountant go through his finances. In 2020, he made $10 million. So ultimately, she's asking for $80,000 a week. Ladies, what's your thought? Is that fair?
Let me say this. As a former family law attorney, I do not think it's fair.
Right.
I understand the standard of living that she has become accustomed to. But I heard it best put when a judge said, when I was practicing to a divorcing couple that had high assets, that said, your standard of living now changes. What you used to do, you won't be able to do no more. And that means the kids may not go to the best private school or even private school at all. I think that it should be a balance. I know in the state of Texas where I used to live, there are limitations. I think it caps out at $10,000. Georgia has a cap of how much you can receive when it comes to child support. It's called an extremely high income. And if it's over a certain amount, caps off at say $10,000, and that's all you will get. I think now, of course, people are going to argue with them. Oh, but she was a housewife. She took care of the kids. You know, she didn't do anything. She didn't.
She ain't no housewife. Your husband makes $10 million a year. You ain't no housewife.
Here's my thing. That's what, for me, that's what alimony is for. That's what alimony is for. Support and alimony are two separate things. But I think a lot of women want to continue that lifestyle and not work. And I understand if you've never worked the entire life because you've been with this baby all your life and you've never worked and they're $10 million. But I think sometimes there needs to be a reasonable limit to it. I don't think that's reasonable. $80,000 in child support.
It's three kids. Children that we're talking about. We're talking about three kids, and we're talking about a guy that's very well off. Like, I'm thinking, even as a man, that 10% is a small fee. You paying your agent and your managers 10%.
So this, let me ask this question. So this is child support we're talking about, not alimony.
Not alimony at all.
And these are his children. So these are his children, three children. Right. I don't think the children should suffer the loss of the divorce. Like we say, like the standard of living for the children, why did that have to change? Maybe the wife, but those are his children. Why should their education be lacked because his mother and father decided not to be together? He's still their father.
I mean,
I see that. I definitely can see that. Where do you draw the line? Okay, I understand that they said, well, this person's worth $10, $20, $30 million whatsoever. I get it. I understand it. But for me, I just wonder sometimes, you can't where the money goes and what she does with it. And that's probably the man's argument. Well, not using it for the kids. But I've always been thought that they're reasonable. And let me say this. I don't know their standard. So maybe it is reasonable. But for me, if I'm looking at $80,000, I don't. How much does he make? What, $10 million? His last... I think they found it.
Yes.
About 10 million. I think the numbers came in for 2022. I think might have been $10 million. Well, you think $10 million? No, that's not unreasonable for children. It's not. But then I weigh it against dealing with people who don't make that kind of money.
Right.
So it's relative to the situation and the person.
Right.
Wow. Wow. All right, Ursula. What else is happening?
Let me say something. I did want to say something about that, though. Because I'm a former family attorney, I thought this through. And child support is always based on the father's income and the mother's income. Typically, it's father's income, both parties' income. It's probably based on the fact that she has no income. So we have to understand that she probably has zero income. What I would encourage a lot of husbands to do, and I do it with my kids, put them on payroll.
Okay.
Put them on payroll.
Your children.
Payroll opens. No, I put my kids on my pay. I hired my children, my child, my oldest. She's 21. I hired her. But here's my thinking on this. When it get into these situations, because you don't know if he's going to make $10 million next year. You see that, and that's the problem. Is he going to make $10 million next year?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change. He could have a very hard year. Then he has to go back and try to get that changed and fight that and pulling out assets and all this other stuff. Meanwhile, the court's trying to throw him in jail for not paying child support. So I think that a lot of these situations, men or women, whoever's the breadwinner and supporting the home, put that other spouse on your payroll. first of all, you get, if you're self-employed, first of all, you get the benefit as long as you pay the payroll taxes. But when it comes to a situation like this, now you can prove that person has income.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of them are basing on zero income. You go to court all the time and mothers or fathers would say, well, I'm not working. You put me down for zero. Georgia, fortunately, will impute it based on what you can do or your degree. I just think, you know, sometimes it's just easier to put them on payroll, get them a set amount. You're not my executive assistant. I'm going to give you $100,000 a year. So if it ever comes to a point where you need to establish yourself, and it helps her too, because if she ever has to buy a car, she has established, has a payroll check.
Right.
It just benefits everybody.
Hey, you said something that interests me, Ursula. You put your children on payroll as well. Talk to me about that, because there's some benefits to putting your children on payroll.
Yeah, and you know, I talked to my accountant about it. When my daughter turned 21, I started putting her on payroll. She makes less than probably about $12,000 a year. But I put her on payroll. I take the benefit of payroll taxes, paying payroll taxes and things of that nature. But also, one, it establishes her again. So now that she has she can go get her own apartment, she can go get her own car, whatever she wants to do, because she has established income. But it also gives me a tax break.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Roddy Perry. You're tuning in to Roddy Perry Live. That young lady is Miss Ursula Esquire, attorney at law. Ursula, you're in entertainment law now. Was that a pivot for you?
No, I practice both. A lot of my clients that were my family law clients were my entertainment clients. And I just got tired of the grimy part of family law. So I kind of just let it go and move to where I am now and focus more on to the entertainment.
Give me this, Ursula, because I remember reading when Steve Harvey left his first wife that his lawyer litigated for both sides. That's unacceptable, am I right?
Well, there's this thing that we have called informed consent. And I personally have never seen anybody litigate for both sides. Now, I've had two clients that I may have had to negotiate a contract with, but just try to encourage one of the other to go have another attorney look at it. But in the case that I had one case and they just would not, they both want me. So I had to do what's called a informed consent, and they both had to sign an informed consent saying that they know that I represent both. I have privileged information about, but and we can move forward for that. But I've never seen someone litigate for both sides.
Wow.
A mess. I mean, like they tell you when you go to criminal court, don't share the co-defendant should not share the same attorney.
Oh, wow. Wow. Ursula, how do we stay in touch, man? How do we follow you and maybe even ask a question every once in a while?
I will answer any questions most likely. You can reach me on Instagram. I have two at legally_URS, and that is on Instagram, legally_URS. And that's probably the best way to reach me. I do everything from contracts. I do trademarks, copyrights. I do family law still here and there just for select cases. I'm getting more into the consulting side. I'm dipping more into this new NIL thing that's going on with college athletics. It's gonna be big, and I'm encouraging everybody, if you are in college athlete, you aspire to be one, you got kids that are going that route, that you understand NIL is getting it on now. Let me drop a little bit next. Get in now. Do it right. Establish yourself as a business so that you can own your own rights. And that's part of me being an intellectual property attorney, teaching people how to create our intellectual property and protect it. And wow. NIL is going to be the biggest thing when it comes to athletics.
Hey, that's huge. I got a daughter. She's a track athlete at the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. The NIL seems to me to only benefit the big athletes, the guys that are you know, NCAA, the football guys, the baseball guys, you know, the big athletes at these schools. How can the smaller athletes, smaller sports benefit?
It's all about how you market yourself and yourself as an athlete. You don't have to be the top seeded athlete. You don't have to be number one, number two, three, four, five on the list. If you set up your, and for people that say what's NIL, it's name, image, and likeness. If you do proper think about it. There are some singers out here. We're going to go segue. There are a lot of artists out here. They can't sing a note.
Okay.
But they have the best marketing.
Mm.
Makes them one of the top artists out there. So it's how you position yourself through marketing, through social media, through nonprofit associations. I mean, you have to really build a brand. You have to build a brand. Once you build that brand, you can take that and pitch that to anyone. You have to make yourself marketable if you're not one of the top seeds. You have to.
Okay, let me ask you this, Ursula, last question. Artist, Christine is a comedian. I'm a comedian.
Right.
What should our first call be? To a manager, to a agent, or to somebody like you, a lawyer?
I'm gonna always say me.
I knew she was gonna say that.
I'm gonna always say me.
Let me write your number down, girl, because I'm trying to figure out what my next move is gonna be. And the way you talking, I think you need to have the conversation.
Because here's the thing, mm-hmm. Here's the thing, Christine and Rodney. If you get a good lawyer, they are going to tell you to get the accountant and the manager. If you have a good manager, they should tell you to get an accountant and a lawyer. If you have an accountant, they should tell you a manager and a lawyer. It's like we work in tandem. And a lot of times I have an accountant that I use for my clients, and I have a roster of some managers that I will refer if they're looking for it. But I try to make sure that when they come to me, that I give them my spiel on it. You need everybody. I know it looks insurmountable, but the money you're spending in the clubs, popping bottles, buying Gucci, YSL, that's money you can pay me. That's money you can pay your accountant. And also, just usually take a percentage. So you're not really most times paying them up front.
Right. And what about an agent?
But I think an attorney is first because... Go ahead.
I'm listening. What did you say?
Is there a pause?
No, I think there's a lag.
Here's my thing with managing
a little bit.
Okay. Even with the managed, I like, you know, there are people out there that don't have managers and they do fine. I don't think you can do fine without an attorney. I'm going to be honest, because there are people like, oh, I can read that contract. I've been reading contracts my life. But there are certain things that should be contracts. There are certain language that is in contract that you think you may, but actually says something. A contract can turn on one word. Of your livelihood. I noticed in a lot of contracts, music contracts, that a lot of these are giving these labels their list in the contract. I don't think they even noticed that. The first person isn't, even if you don't have a contract on the table, you need to have an attorney lined up. So when that first contract comes through, you have money and a contract, an attorney you go straight to.
Wow. I love that, Ursula, because you know, a lot of times, you know, we as people of color, you know, you don't lock that stuff in until it's too late.
Absolutely. And I get so many people come to me after they've signed the deal. after they've made promises and agreements and given up their soul, and now I have to try to unravel it. When I say, now you're paying me $10,000 when I may have only charged you five to just do it to from the beginning. Now I have to unravel somebody else's work.
Wow.
I have to fix it now. And a lot of times it's not easy, because these other attorneys know what they're doing. People like, let me give an example. I had someone call me and say, hey, can you review this contract for me? What's your fee? So I gave her my fee and she told me it was too high. That's fine. I said, I can do a payment plan. I'm easy. But she said, well, I don't need you to redline it and do anything. I know what I'm going to sign. I'm going to sign it.
Okay.
Why you call me? Why did you call me?
Right.
She said, well,
right.
Well,
yeah.
I just need for you to explain some things. You don't understand it, but you know that you're going to sign it. Now, I don't know if she signed it or not.
Good luck.
Good luck. Good luck.
Your Instagram is, you're at Legally Yours, URS. God dang it. I don't know.
Legally,
I don't know why.
It's Legally underscore URS.
Okay, let's get that. Okay. Boom. There we go. Like that? Is that right? Did I spell it right?
Take out the first A.
Oh, shit. Boy, can't spell. Goodness gracious.
Writing and typing like he's showing his age.
You know I'm an old man. Hold on. L-E-G-A-L-L-Y. No A.
Yep.
There it is. You can follow this young lady. She's at Legally Yours or at Ursula. That's URS. I love that. That's a play on words. That makes sense. Hey, Miss Ursula, I cannot thank you enough for coming on. You shed some light on a lot of stuff. And, you know, I love, like, smart people, and you're definitely one of them. Why did you get into law?
I worked in radio first, and I met a lot of artists in what I did. And what happened was I got laid off. 9/11 happened, and I got laid off. And I started thinking about when I worked in radio, I was a promotions director, coordinator and director. And what happened was I did all the concerts, I did all the events and things. And I saw how these artists would talk about their contracts. They would talk about losing money, not getting paid. I was seeing so much. And so when I got laid off, it tugged at my heart, which I know, which was my purpose and my passion. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go to law school. I want to do entertainment law because I want to be that person. I want to be the educator. I don't take on a client that's not willing to be educated. I can't. If you just want me to do a contract, I will. I'll draft it. Goodbye. But if you want to be on you want me to be on your team, you have to be willing to learn. And that's how I found my purpose and my passion. I went to law school. I took up contract law. I excelled at contract law. So I knew that I was in my purpose and my passion. But I started because I saw how a lot of artists were so unhappy in the industry, and I wanted to make a change.
Wow. Wow. You and your partner in crime, Miss Kim, you guys are not only making a pivot. You guys are getting into, is it management? What do you call what you guys are doing, man? You guys are taking the bull by the horns.
Oh, absolutely. If you're going to do it, you might as well do it big. I say dream big and execute bigger.
Wow.
But yes, we have a production company, and we probably almost full service, but we do bookings, we do management, we do events, curating, which means we create them, events, we manage them for other people, whether it's stage management or artist management at the event. I personally do some what do you call Productions. I love documentaries. I'm currently revamping one that I worked on ago, which is Life After Sex Trafficking, following young ladies and men who have been sex trafficked and how do they segue back into the world. And so I'm pulling that back up by the horns to take on that. We do social media management. So that's what our company is focused on, the production aspect of it. Just because I love being creative too, because sometimes the law can keep you like this. And I'm a creative person.
Wow. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Ursula, for coming on. Tell your partner I said hello. You know, I love both of you guys. You guys always got my personal back. And I want to invite you guys. Rodney Perry, the one-man show, is going up February 10th and 11th in Marietta at the Marietta at the Square. If you got a boo, bring your boo out. You know, see Rodney Perry do the one-man show.
I'll come.
She said, that part. That part.
I'll go.
The boo.
Wow.
Hey, read what you want into that. Read what you want into that.
None of my business, Ursula.
What's the old saying? What's the saying goes? The saying goes,
don't bring sand to the beach. Don't bring sand to the beach.
No. No.
Okay.
If you see marriage material in me, don't worry about my boyfriend.
Miss Ursula, thank you, thank you, thank you. You silly.
Oh, and
Don't block your blessings.
Don't block your blessings.
Don't worry about somebody else. It could be your blessing.
I could be what you've been asking God for.
Oh, goodness gracious. What is the back-to-back? What's the back-to-back?
Lay hands on that.
University of Georgia. Back-to-back.
Back-to-back champions. Ow. Y'all better work.
Why y'all have to beat them people so bad, though?
That's what we do.
Back-to-back up in this piece.
Was it 65-7? Oh, goodness.
65-7. Something like that.
Goodness gracious. Miss Ursula, you know I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on, and we can't wait to have you back.
I love you too. Nice meeting you, Christine.
Nice meeting you. I wrote your information down because I need to know about that because I got a lot of intellectual property out there, and I'm starting to learn how to get my stuff taken off of people pages too. I said, "Oh, y'all gonna do that to my stuff?"
Call me, and I'm you. Then you call me, Miss Christine, and you. We gonna talk. We will talk.
Done deal. All right, appreciate it. Yo, my girl Ursula came on here with the choppiest connection of all time. Goodness gracious. But you know, I'm glad we was able to hear some of her great information, man. And expert on family court, expert on entertainment law. And let me tell you something. You will need a lawyer before you need a manager or agent. Cause somebody got to look at that. Look at that. Look, every contract is written on behalf of the person that it's for. So
that if
you do a deal, guess what? If it's my contract, it benefits me.
So
we got to know that and be able to deal with that. You know, I've been dealing with contracts for many years, and you know, it's always a pleasure to see, you know, the young comics take it to the next level. And Christina's with us today. My name is Roddy Perry. You're tuning in to Roddy Perry Live. Oh, my God. Christina Cooper is in the building. Christine, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to play a game that I call This or That. I'll be asking you, which thing do you like? Hello. All right, y'all,
I'm here for it.
A little break. We'll be right back. By more Roddy Perry Live after the break. Boom, boom. Uh-oh. My other attorney buddy is in the queue, too. All right. Y'all stay right there. We'll be right back. More show.
What up, y'all? It's Michael Sean. And I know you want to be a podcaster. You want a successful podcast. You want to give your views and opinions. But you just don't know how to do it correctly. That's why you got to hit up ShawneeScott.com. You want to be on radio. And you want to know how to build your radio career. ShawneeScott.com. She's done all of this. I've worked alongside her for years, and I will tell you the information that she can give you is on a value level that I can't even put a price on it. All you have to do is go to ShawneeScott.com. Your future, right now. That's it. Michael Sean. Yeah.
We are back in full effect. My name is Rodney Perry. You're tuned in to Rodney Perry Live. My co-host for today, Christine the Cougar, is in the building.
Yes.
Watch out, young boys. You ain't ready. She's still young.
Watch out. I'm here for it, too. My knees still ready. My knees still work.
Can't do that. Are you Megan Thee Stallion?
I don't know if I'm Megan Thee Stallion, but I was around some stuff. I was in the strip club last night, Rodney, with the young boys and the big booties. Like, I'm still out here. I'm out here. Let me tell you, I'm living my best life.
Good for you. we got another lawyer. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. When this man, he's been supporting me for many years. He's one of my favorite human beings. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Attorney Victor Marshall. How are you, Victor?
All right. Good morning, Rodney Perry, all the way live.
Now, Victor is different, Ursula. I mean, Christine. Victor is a criminal lawyer. Ooh. Victor is a criminal lawyer. Victor don't play.
Mm-mm. Okay. Not Victor, with that outfit.
You know, I like to have lawyers on the show, man, because you guys are very matter of fact. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the landscape of law that we as people of color need to be paying attention to.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, brother. Especially when it comes to, you know, preserving your rights and so on, what goes in the system. You know, it's the only one we have. But, you know, there's a lot of issues, especially when it comes to people of color. And that's why you got to have people of color who are deciding these cases, too. You know, you talked about it quite a few times in terms of being a juror.
Yes, talk to me about jury. Talk to me about jury duty, man, because I stood jury duty. I ended up catching a murder case. And, dude, it was the most stressful thing I've done in my life.
Oh, yeah.
But I felt a sense of duty, and I felt like I had to do it. What's your thought?
You know, thank goodness we have people like you, because so many times we run into your normal person who wants to walk in and say, you know, I got to do everything I can in order to try to prevent, you know, from serving on a jury. You know, they think that it's bothersome, it's burdensome, and so on and so forth. But it is so important. You know, I have had the opportunity of sitting on the bench. I've worked in a DA's office. I've been a criminal defense attorney for decades, but I've never been a juror. Oh. Jurors are tantamount to our system, man. And thank goodness for people like you who truly look at all the issues, work hard at it, you see, because it's so easy for people to walk into a courtroom and say, you know, well, if he's charged with something, then I'm just going to find him guilty.
Wow.
Simple as that.
But let me ask you this, man, because I sat on that jury. You know what I learned? I don't want a jury of my peers deciding my fate.
Yeah.
You know, and what I mean by that is, it's a lot of technical things that you as a lawyer would give me as a juror. I mean, the case we sat on, we had 3 days of gun evidence.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and I had to learn. I didn't know that stuff. I had to learn about gun evidence from that lawyer. And it was one point I was still performing in the evenings. We weren't sequestered. And the judge stopped court. He said, Mr. Perry, can you do this? Because I was nodding.
You know, that's not uncommon. It's not uncommon for, you know, jurors to start, you know, falling asleep or whatever it is. I mean, because, you know, we've got our own things going on in our lives and so on. It's not uncommon. There have been times. Let me tell you, one time I ended up beating a death penalty case. My client was facing a death penalty.
Wow.
But it hung in the penalty phase. Excuse me. No, in the guilt phase. Okay. It hung because the prosecutor made a comment to a juror saying, this juror is falling asleep, you know, and that feeling of disconnection that the juror had with that prosecutor, she ended up losing that case because she wasn't able to connect with that juror because, you know, for busting them out and embarrassing them, you see. So we have to be very cognizant of what we say and do with our jurors. So connection with the jurors is very important. That's why you have been my buddy for all these years. Remember, you used to come in and help me out.
Okay, so Christine, you know, when you're an up-and-coming comedian, you know, you're looking for any way to make money.
Right.
And I met this young man at the comedy club. He came up to me and said, Rodney, he said, you have a unique skill set. You're able to look at people and you're able to make a decision of who they are. He said, I want to pay you to read some of my cases and just tell me what you think. And you said, Vic, that would help with your jury voyeur. Explain what jury voyeur is and how could a comedian help with that?
So voir dire is really important because this is the first opportunity that the lawyers have to talk with the jurors. Comedians are the greatest improvisationalists. I mean, you guys can take something and you can build from that. I mean, and whatever a person says, you know, you can, whether it is, if make a joke or something, whatever it is to connect with them and so on. So I learned from you how to engage that audience, whether it was remembering their name, remembering particular features and so on, something in order to connect with your own personal life. You taught me this, man. You taught me this. You taught me how you would have like a couple of hundred, you know, whether it's jokes or something like that, already in your arsenal to build up from that. Well, now I have things in my arsenal to in order to connect with jurors, depending on their life experiences and so on. And it depends on the case that I have. I can tell my story of my case through my voir dire when I'm talking with the jurors and find out their biases, prejudice, and things of that nature. So you help me with that.
Wow, man. Dude, one thing I had after doing that, what I learned is you have to take on emotionally a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, you're dealing with people, you're dealing with their lives. If you got a guy that beats a life in prison case or the death penalty, that's a lot. You know, how do you keep your mind on an even plane?
You know, I do work out quite a bit. I literally ran my 4 miles this morning. It was only 35 degrees, you know, this morning, but you have to maintain physical fitness. I read, but you know, I do a lot of other things too, from DJing and skiing and things of that nature. So I have a balance. I have a very warm balance, but I also work with a lot of people and who have the same mindset, who work hard at what they do as well. And having that camaraderie with others, it helps me to kind of, you know, keep my blood pressure down and stay focused.
Hey. The thing. Hey, I'm Rodney Perry. You're tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. I'm talking to Victor Marshall, attorney at law. Man, Vic, you deal with people at their absolute worst sometimes. Do you need your clients to be innocent?
We are under duty to protect our clients with respect to the Constitution. So whatever is within the realms of the Constitution, it's my job to make sure that they're protected. So whether they're guilty or innocent. But see, I'm also, when I'm protecting the guilty, I'm also protecting the innocent as well. It's all right. It's all right. People deserve to be represented at all costs, no matter how difficult they are, no matter, you know, because we're asking jurors to decide, you know, to be fair, to be honest, to be open, vulnerable, and transparent. And so, It doesn't matter if they're guilty or innocent. I mean, I represent the guilty. And sometimes it's not about getting them off. Sometimes it's about getting them, you know, the correct results. Because sometimes prosecutors will overcharge things. They charge, you know, someone with a first degree murder when actually, you know, it may be a manslaughter. It may be a situation where they were provoked and so on. You see, so there are defenses to those kinds of things. Sometimes they're overcharged. So the right result, the right thing needs to happen in the case. And that's My job is to make sure that the right thing happens in your case.
Give me this, Vic. Your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife gets in trouble. It ain't cheap. People don't understand. If your ass end up in the court system, it's going to cost you. Give me a ballpark that a guy facing a capital crime has to deal with financially.
Oh, a capital crime. That's going to run into six figures. Six figures easy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I've had several of those cases. And, you know, that's why I ended up losing a lot of my hair. I still have some left. But, I mean, that was stressful. You're in trial. You are dedicated to be in trial for at least 4 months.
Wow.
4 months out of your life. Yeah. And that's a lot of hours. I mean, you're not talking about just the trial, but all the preparation that goes in before that. So you may be in there for, you know, 2 or 3 years or so.
Now, do you own your own company? Are you Victor Marshall Esquire, and is your company, or are you under a bigger umbrella?
So at the time that you and I were working together, I had my own office. I got tapped on a couple of different occasions by the public defender's office. So I went out to Ventura County and I worked there. I helped to train some of the officers. Right now I'm in LA. I just got tapped for San Francisco, as well as a private firm to do personal injury, things of that nature, and try civil cases. But I think my heart has always been with the community and making sure that you know, people are protected in the community and not charged and things of that nature.
Attorney Victor Marshall, you're not only a lawyer, you're a Kappa. You guys are all about community, man. Talk to me about the community aspect of what you do, man. I mean, you've helped my son, and you help people daily, bro. Talk to me about the community.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, one of the reasons why I still stay active is because we have a branch of our organization called the Kappa League. And what happens is we assist and bring in a lot of young, you know, teenage boys from high school all the way through high school, actually, even junior high. They come into under our wings. We mentor them. We take them on school tours. We show them how to everything from internet etiquette, personal etiquette, and so on. We take them to the schools and so on, show them how to get scholarships. We help them to get into colleges and a host of different things. But it's we also give other events and stuff like that too, where we have them escort. So we teach them the ways of how to really and truly be a man. A lot of single mothers actually rely on the Kappa League as well. And it helps to get their kid, you know, on the right path. And we've got a lot of success stories.
Hey, man, Victor Marshall, man, it's always a pleasure. Love talking to you, bro. Have you been paying attention to some of the stuff that's happening out here on these legal landscapes in some of these pop culture cases?
Oh, I have. And I think I had chimed in a couple of weeks ago because I actually got to view the Tory Lanez trial. I got to see your girl, Megan Thee Stallion, come in and saw her testify.
How tall is she in real life?
You know, I think maybe she's about 5'9 or 5'10, but she does wear heels.
Yeah.
And so that puts her close to the 6 foot range and or so on. Yeah. But wow. It was something. I mean,
What's your thoughts on that case? That young man took a brick, man, and he's got a new lawyer. His new lawyer says that the original lawyer kind of failed him and that he wish he had came on sooner. What's your thoughts?
You know, I'm actually friends with his first lawyer, very close friends with his first lawyer, Sean Holly, who's represented Cat Williams just a whole host of celebrities and so on. I actually spoke with the lawyer that tried the case. He actually did a pretty, you know, decent job. I mean, there were issues that raised no reasonable doubt in the case, no doubt about it. However, you know, I got to tell you something. When sisters testify, when Megan got on the stand and testify, you know, sisters have really a lot of power in their experiences and so on when they testify and so on. There was an independent witness as well that kind of, you know, corroborated what she said and so on. So I think that's what ended up swaying the jurors in terms of things.
The new lawyer. Either you got shot or you didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, there was problems with her credibility because she didn't say the story in the beginning. But when she came in, I think that made all the world of a difference. But
is it true that what's said in the court supersedes whatever was said in the public, right?
No, not necessarily. It depends on the stories. It really depends on the power of the story. You see, and when she came in, the story became a bit more powerful, especially when she explained what was going on and why. But the independent witness kind of came in and corroborated some things. And that kind of, I think that moved the jurors.
Hey Vic, we saw a George Foreman case resurface, 50-year-old case. Young lady said George raped her, but her credibility came into question. And George has now countersued. We saw Mike Tyson, 20-year-old removed case. Young lady says Mike Tyson raped her in a limo 20 years ago in the 90s. Talk to me about, we have to protect our women, first of all. I get that. But, man, these cases are very old. Is the case ever too old? What's your thought?
You know, I can tell you what the law is. I can tell you
my
personal.
Okay.
The law is there are... A defendant has a right to a speedy trial, first and foremost. But those rights become affected and the case can be prejudiced over time because you lose witnesses, witnesses lose their memory and so on. Evidence and so on becomes stale, those kinds of things.
Okay.
It can prejudice case as a result. Okay. And because of that, that's why they have things like statute of limitations. Of course, with murder, there's no statute of limitations. But with everything else, there usually is a statute of limitation. Hey, Trina. And so, you have to, all that stuff has to be balanced. I have had a number of cases where I have gotten cases dismissed because the prosecutors were sitting on them. They became stagnant or the statute of limitations have run as a result. And people have the right to that under our system, just to make sure that these old cases don't come back. With respect to rape cases, yes, I agree with you. Our women need to be protected. But they also have a duty to come forward as soon as possible. I understand that it can be painful for them. But they run the risk of the statute of limitations and so on.
Wow.
This would tell you, get in there, get this person off the streets as quickly as possible, you see?
Well, you know what, Vic, that is an interesting point that nobody has made, that if you don't come forward, how many people behind you get victimized?
Absolutely. But see, the law in California, at least, even if you don't come forward immediately, let's say if you don't get prosecuted criminally, that case can still come forward, like with Bill Cosby, like with Harvey Weinstein. All those cases where they weren't prosecuted, people can still come in and testify because we now have what's called propensity evidence. It comes up in sex cases and it comes up in domestic violence cases. So propensity evidence can now come in. So all the bad stuff that you did in the past, that can end up coming in, even if you haven't been prosecuted for it, because it shows a propensity that if you did it in the past, you're liable to have it done in this case. That's right.
Yo, is there anybody you won't defend?
You know, I've been asked that. I would say that the most difficult cases are child molesters. But I have defended them before. I mean, I have, and admittedly, I'll still do it. But it is difficult. It is difficult.
Now, Vic, I gotta ask, man. There's a lot of single ladies that patronize the Roddy Perry Live Show. Are you single?
I'm not available. I'm not available.
sorry, Christina. You too old for Christina, though.
I kind of got a glimpse. I kind of figured it out.
It was somebody walking in the background.
I saw. I said I got a little, I didn't want to tell you a secret, but I peeped it. But I pay attention. But I want to say this though, real quick. Do you ever do like so? And I understand when you would be referencing to Megan Thee Stallion, because at the time it was the climate at the time. And it's funny too, because she still tried to protect the black man that harmed her. This is the thing that us women try to do, because she didn't want him to get
right
assaulted by the police because of the situation that was happening in the moment, because of the climate at the time. And my question to you is, do you do pro bono? Do you take on cases when people don't have it?
Well, because I'm in the public defender's office now, it's all pro bono.
Okay. All right. Oh, so that's
but even
right. Okay.
Even when I was in private practice, I still took some pro bono cases every now and then. No doubt. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, depending on the urgency, depending on what the issues were, depending on if I mean, because some cases you have to put money out there in order to investigate and so on and so forth.
Wow.
You know, yeah.
Hey, real quick, Victor Marshall, how do we stay in touch?
You can reach me at on Instagram. I'm at Vic Mixon, or on Facebook at Victor Marshall.
He's a lawyer. He's a DJ. He will slap you in the face if you get out of hand. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Mr. Attorney Victor Marshall. Thank you, Vic. Thank you for coming in. I want you to come back too, man, as your schedule permits. I know this is not an everyday thing for you. And thank you for the question, Christina. Up next, Coco Fresh is in the building. Every Friday, as her schedule permits, we're going to have her come in and do some readings. She's an expert tarot card reader. She's funny as all get out. She's silly. She's light-skinned. And she always got a fresh fade. All right, let's take a break. We come back, more show. Coco Fresh is in the building. Vic, you trying to get red?
You know what? That'd be nice. That would be nice.
We're here for the read. Hey, we'll be right back. More show, Roddy Perry Live.
Get ready for America's number one funny man.
Funny man.
What? Hey. Make some noise. Ladies and gentlemen, from LA to New York, New York, Chicago to Mississippi. Let's give it up for America's number one funny man, Rodney.
What's up, party people? It's your boy, Roddy Perry. We are back. It's the top of the hour, and it's Friday. I said, what better way to close out the week than to consult the spirits? Her fade is ridiculous. It's always fly. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Coco Fresh.
Peace, y'all.
Peace, y'all. All right.
Every time you say my fade is fly, I be like, God, I'm wearing a hat. I'm going to have to come.
Hey, I've seen the real fade up close. The Cash App.
Oh, yeah.
The Fresh Tarot.
Yes, right.
It's an honor and a privilege you would even consider to come on this show, because you do this stuff on your own, you know, and you're just so dope. First of all, can we talk about that Vic to change clothes?
You know what? I saw that him change the hat. It started with the hat. I was like, what we about to do?
Well, Rodney's my inspiration. That brother be wearing some hats.
Hey, I see what you're doing. Christina Cougar is joining us today.
Peace, Christina.
Hey, love. How are you doing, Coco?
Hey, Coco, give me this, because you hear people talk about Mercury retrograde, and a friend of mine was talking. She was like, this is not really our new year. This is a time, like, we kind of renew ourselves in the spring.
Right.
And so talk to me about that. What is Mercury retrograde? What's that mean?
Okay, so I'm not like the Mercury retrograde expert, but basically, Mercury is the planet that is associated with like communication.
Okay.
So, well, retrograde means going backwards, or it's either going backwards or being still. So when Mercury goes through retrograde like three times of the year, when Mercury goes through retrograde, that's when things be messing up on our end, on Earth, with like communication, a lot of breakups, your money slow down, all that stuff. A lot of people that you done broke up with, that you know you ain't got no business messing with, they be trying to come back. And, yeah, a lot. And then you get into a lot of nostalgia, because remember, it's like slowing down. It's like, actually, it's like going backwards. So you start thinking about people that you used to be with, and you be thinking about the good stuff of the past, and you be forgetting why you left them alone in the first place.
That was a reason.
That part.
Reason why. So when retrograde comes, that's when you sit down and you just be still, and you just think about stuff that you don't need to be dealing with no more. Like, it's just, it's really just sit your butt down somewhere time.
Sit your ass down. All right, guys. All right, guys.
Contract, nothing.
Love it. Hey, y'all, this is Roddy Prayer. You tuned in to Roddy Prayer Live. If you got a question for Coco Fresh and you tuned in, hit us in the chat and we'll take a look at it. Christina is a cougar, Coco.
Okay.
I'm a I'm a Capricorn too. We just came out of Capricorn season.
Okay. Oh,
wow. When is your birthday? When is your birthday? Right.
Christmas Eve.
You know about that? She got them coins. I can already feel it. See, I need her to fix my credit. I know she knows somebody.
You know somebody. Hey, how about this? How about this, Coco? Christine took a leap of faith and went all the way into comedy last year. Okay. I know she didn't ask. But she's been doing great, man. I've been really watching her, and I'm super happy for her and proud of her. She's really leaned into this cougar thing. What does the future hold for Christine the Cougar?
All right. Let's see. Spirit, give me some insight about Christine. Well, Christine, actually, this was real easy for you to slide into. I feel like you have an old soul. You've been here many times. Mm. And this was a real easy transition for you to come into. Actually, I get the Ace of Wands that's coming for you. So that's like offers, great opportunities. But the thing that I'm going to have to tell you is you need to be more open to people, because you are very like, don't come to me with no BS. And what's happening is when they be you, you are going to end, if you keep this up, you're going to end up pushing off somebody that's going to be good for you.
Mm.
So you learn to be open. Yeah,
okay.
And that will stop you a lot. Because after that, it's like you doing that, I'm getting people, it's going to stop people. Now, I'm also saying too, though, this comedy thing is going to actually bring up, you're going to get you a boo from that. I do, or it could be a partnership, but I feel like it's love. So if anything great come out of this year, I think it's going to bring you a new relationship.
I'm working on a business relationship that's very fruitful, I believe.
Okay.
So it could. I don't know. Well, I'm here for the love, though.
I think it's love. It could be a mixture of both, but I keep getting the Ace of Wands. Like, this is a great start for you, but you have got to be open to people. You're going to have all types of people that's going to come to you in this, especially as a female in comedy. You're going to get some crazy shit.
Coco, let me ask you this. Christine got a kind of big booty. Is that going to help her?
Absolutely, it'll help her. And she can use it.
Listen, I embrace all of this. I mean, I work hard at keeping it together because I was a big girl. I toned down. I'm stage ready, and I'm here for it. Like, I literally just wrapped two movies this week on my parts.
That's what's up.
So I had those two movies, and one is being edited now. So like, I feel I'm walking on faith, and there's so much that I'm fearful of, but I'm also excited about, because you know, not having all the time and not always being booked, but still being in the moment and enjoying every bit of it.
Christine, John Hall said, "Can he see?"
I got on my Zoom outfit today. So this is
no bottoms, no bottoms.
This is going on. This is the pajamas on the bottom, but the booty.
All right. All right.
Come on now, the booty is bootying.
Right.
Booty is bootying.
Oh, yeah, her booty has a whole person.
I was practicing with the young girls yesterday with the butt, well, last night, this morning with the butt shots.
All right. Thank you, Christine. My calls for today is so insane. Victor Marshall, he's an attorney, great guy. He says he's unavailable to you women out there in them streets. He got somebody. Vic, you have a question for Coco Fresh.
You know, I was saying earlier that I have been tapped recently. I'm working in LA now, but I have been tapped with two different places, two firms. One is a private firm, literally with personal injury. I mean, I could make, who knows, you know, I could make hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions. Okay. I've also been tapped to go up north to double what I'm making now. Either way, it's a win-win situation, but I've prayed on it. But I'm still not sure if I should stay down here with the private firm and do PI, or if I should go up north and still do criminal defense.
I would go with the firm where you're at now. I would not go up north. It looks like the firm that you're at now, the first one that you was talking about, I get a lot more power with that. I'm getting the word powerful with that. I'm also getting the only thing about this firm is, I do see like some blockages, conflicts, and you may feel like you're not moving forward, but the good thing with this one too, I feel comfort. So it's something about like feeling good. You want to go where you feel comfortable, feel good. The other one, I feel like the one up north, I feel like they're too secretive. And that's a red flag for me. And I feel like that it's something about them that remind you of the past, and it'll bring you a lot of anxiety. Now, this is the thing. You have got to ask what is more important to you, money or comfort. If it's for comfort and your peace of mind, you stay where you at. If it's just about money, you go up top.
Copy that.
Does that resonate, Vic?
It does. I mean, big time. I appreciate that.
Now, Coco, let me ask you. Vic has many hats. Is he going to get more hats?
Yeah, my daddy's crossed over. My daddy said he like your hat. So he going to get more hats.
Another question for Vic. Vic, like Christina, is in here with no bottoms on. Is he going to continue to do interviews with no bottoms on?
Yes, she is. I'm hearing you got like some pink pajama bottom pants. I'm getting pink.
I have pink polka dots on.
I was about to say hearts, but okay, it's something with dots on it. Mm-hmm. Those are like your power pants. So whenever you do anything on your Zoom, or put on your pink pants, they have a lot of power.
Oh, I got one for you, Coco. So I met these guys yesterday. These some electric car guys, right?
Okay.
And it ended up being kind of a creative meeting I was called in on. But I get a sense that they cheap sons of bitches. Should I steer clear of them?
Okay, so Spirit, are these cheap sons of bitches? Are these cheap ass? You gonna see that look for signs. You're going to get signs. Now, I'm getting something about you need to communicate with them more. Is this a good move for you? Because I do see opportunity in this, but I'm just saying, is this a good move?
I feel like, I'm going to tell you what I feel. You tell me if I'm off base.
Okay.
This thing that they're doing could be a $1 billion thing.
Yes. That's what I'm feeling, but the thing about it is,
and so should I not trip off of money right now?
I'm getting the weight card. So it's like, look for signs. Look for signs of some BS and ask questions. It's not that it's a bad deal. It's about not getting enough information. So don't be putting don't put everything into this. I just look for signs on this one. Because they are, yeah, because, okay, I get the door to value. You will make money with this, actually, but I'm getting somebody that's into it, but they don't care about the money. Who's ever doing this, they don't care about the money, though. They care about, they're passionate about this. Yes. And you got to be careful with people like that, because you want to, you about the money. So when somebody's passionate into it, yeah, that's good. But they don't care about taking an L because they're passionate about it.
Right. They already got there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would definitely, I get the Sun card on this. I also feel like, too, once you get invested in this and be a part of this, people will be envious of you. I'm actually getting like a feminine energy being envious of you about that. I'm also getting cornucopia. So, yeah. Cornucopia is like a big blessing.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, go ahead and get into that, but just slow invest, if you know what I'm saying. Invest slowly.
1,000%. Okay, Coco Fresh is here with us today. Oh, my God. Always a pleasure. How are you, Coco Fresh?
I'm okay. My baby, he's in the other room, and I think his tonsils are swollen. So after we get off, I'm gonna take him on down to the urgent care. So
yeah, man.
Worried about.
I gotta tell you.
Separate rooms.
No, I gotta tell you. I enjoy listening to Coco Fresh. You know, when she comes in and does the readings. You know, she delivers some really good stuff.
Thank you. I've been doing I'm a healer, so I've been doing Reiki healing on him.
Okay.
Usually that, you know, you get like I would suggest anybody that's going through, especially like anxiety and things of that sort, go find your Reiki practitioner. It's like energy healing.
Okay.
That on him, and it just ain't, so I was like, oh, okay, but we finna go.
He has to embrace it too, though, right?
Absolutely. Has to be open to it. He asked for it.
Okay. Word up. Hey, Coco Fresh, what's next for you? What do you want?
Ooh, that's a good question. I just, you know what? I'm actually want to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
What I prayed for. Yeah. Since I was a little kid, I used to watch like the Miss Cleo commercials, and I used to watch Dionne Warwick and her psychic friend.
Psychic like, Network.
Yeah, and I just was so like, I don't know what, I was a weird little kid. So watching that, I was like, I want to do that. So to see me doing this for a living is, I just feel like this is it. So I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. I want to give people clarity. I don't want to become I don't want to become what you call rich and famous off of this, because it seems like people that have huge followings in the spirituality field, they fall off or they die. And I want to continue to help people. I love what I do.
I love that you love what you do. Okay, here goes another one. All right. I just started a new improv class. I feel my most in touch spiritually while I'm doing these classes.
Yeah.
Like
your teacher.
It's hard for me to explain, Coco, but like when I'm giving feedback to them, I'm tapped into something else.
That's because you got a soul contract to do that. You got a soul contract to instruct.
Educate me. What's a soul contract? I like that.
It's in your spirit.
That's
it's
right.
It's your God-given. Understand that.
There's nothing better than doing what you love.
That's
you have the most passion.
When did I make this contract? I don't remember signing no deal.
Did you have a lawyer look over it?
It's in your spirit, Rodney. It's all on you.
It's people. You gotta pay attention to yourself from the years. Look at how people gravitate towards you. Like you are doing what you are supposed to do. A lot of times you can feel when you're doing the right thing. It's like when your brain is getting a massage when you're doing it. It's high. That's when you know you in there, you doing what you're supposed to do. Your soul contract was made before you came here.
Wow. So, you know, Rodney is a master of what he does. Let me tell you, my buddies made an entire movie and they had a role specifically for Rodney. They made it just for Rodney because of what he does, because of the way that he connects with people. Okay. Wow. And he knows everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
Here goes Coco Fresh. There was an altercation this past Tuesday night. Comedian Steve Brown, another young man who I won't say his name. I'm concerned about that young man. He is dealing with some demons. And so is he going to be okay?
Okay, give me his first initial.
His a nickname, but I'm going to say S.
S. Okay. Spirit, what's going on with him? Okay. He gonna be all right. I just think, you know, he is very, I just see a lot of concern about him not giving what he feel like he's owed. Mm. Very concerned about money.
Should I reach out to him?
Spirit, should Rodney reach out to him?
I'm thinking about not, I shouldn't be fucking with him because he's too deep.
Or did you need to follow that? Mm. No.
One thing I got to say about you, Rodney, is that you're the ultimate diplomat.
No.
What is that? What is that card? No.
She said no.
Leave him alone.
Leave him alone.
Okay.
I wouldn't mess with him.
It is too. This was on. That's funny about to say this. Something's telling me to tell people that's watching, stop saying God told me to tell you. God didn't tell you to tell. Stop that. Stop that. It don't work.
Who was it? If it's not God, who is it? If anybody.
You told you to tell you.
Your guilty conscience. It's your guilty conscience. That's what it is. Yeah.
Because when somebody say God told me to tell you, what's the first thing that you be thinking? You be looking at what's wrong with them. Well, why didn't God tell you to fix that tooth? You know, why? Why? God didn't tell you to tell God. No, why is he gonna skip over me to go to you?
Coco Fresh, we all in Hollywood. I think I'm ready to get a new set of teeth. Will I get me a new set of teeth? I want them Denzels.
Don't get them chiclets.
I'm gonna get a big ones. I'm gonna get the biggest I can fit in my mouth.
Now, you gotta get more information, but I get some big happy changes are going to come to you when you get new teeth.
Really?
Yeah, I'm hearing like your money will increase if you get some new teeth.
Oh, God.
I'm gonna have them grind these down. I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with grinding down teeth. Hey, you gave me some advice. Just to recap, you was like, hug your wife. Yeah, hug your wife more. That's so resonated. And regardless of whatever she pushed me off, whatever, we've been doing that and it makes a big difference.
She pushed you off.
Oh, she, you know, but you know, her mother lives with us and her mother's like, Angie ain't never like nobody touching on her like that.
Aww.
And so it makes a difference, man. And I wanted to tell you that it definitely resonates. It's definitely real.
Make it a ritual, okay?
Yeah.
Make it a ritual. Don't, you know, just make it like, okay, well, baby, at 10 at 9 a.m. every morning, I need for us to hug and give them good swing hugs.
Mm.
That will make your whole day a lot better.
Right. And I'm guilty of that, doing it for like a couple of days and being like, you know, I ain't got time.
Nah, make it like beef.
Wow. What does the world need now, Coco Fresh? Like, are people looking for love? Are they looking for relationships? Are they looking for money? What do people need?
People need to invest in their family and invest in themselves. And this is financially and this is all around. This is the thing. Mm-hmm. I think that instead of worrying about what the world is doing, and it's like more worry about yourself. Worry more about, like, with money. You need to, I'm hearing, like, you need to worry about more about additional streams of income. That's what I'm getting. I'm hearing, like, try to get in at least three streams of income. I'm also hearing about getting a plan, a retirement plan. But don't go so much about, don't get the worries from what you see on TikTok or what you see on TV. I'm getting more about just invest within yourself, within your family. You know how you live. You know how your household is. You know how you want to be when you get older. So it's like, don't focus so much about what the media is saying. So the best advice that I can put is invest in yourself. The biggest thing is money, okay? Money. I keep hearing invest. Every time I talk to people, when I do readings on my lives or whatever, I always get this message about don't worry about what he doing or what. You need to worry about your money and your coins. Because it's a lot of people that's making less than $30,000 a year that's spending, that get calls with me and they spend hundreds of dollars worried about what Pookie doing. Right. Well, you need to worry about trying to figure out how can I increase, because you ain't got no retirement plan.
Wow, how so about that?
Focus more on your income. I'm hearing three.
Your long-range income.
Long range,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Your long range,
you
said retirement. Retirement. That makes me think,
Long range, future. Everything, yeah. Long range, short term, everything. Put your focus on your finances, and okay. You put your focus on finances, I feel like everything else will fall into place. But you got everybody in tune on the same goal. That's Coco what I'm
fresh, Mike Tyson. Just caught a rape charge from 20 years ago in the 90s. Is he going to beat this, or is this going to be like another black stain on his career?
Okay. Spirit, what's going to happen with Mike? He's going to be fine with the Four of Wands. I don't see him getting any type of Four of Wands represents home. Like I'm good. That's a celebration in that. But the thing about it is he's going to be manipulated out of paying out a lot of money. So if anything, you're going to hear about him either having to pay out a lot of money. That's what I'm getting. I'm getting manipulated. He may have a lot of money taken from him. So if it's going to affect him, it's going to affect him financially. But I don't see him getting locked up. Just people, this person has been watching. It's like watching and waiting. Getting a lot of secretive energy. So with him, it's a wheel of fortune for this other person. This person is an empress upside down. So the empress is like the side chick, or the empress is a woman that is not the main woman. And I feel like, yes, this is causing a lot of blockages and a lot of anxiety. No sleep at night. So I don't get that I don't get jail time. I do get celebration that he doesn't get jail time, but I see it hitting his pockets really bad. That's what
he's been through that before. He's been through that before, and
maybe
he still bounce back. Still bounce back.
Yeah. It's a lot though. That's tough. You know, but he's been to the mountaintop of money, so that it won't break him.
Yeah. He's going to be feeling like, actually, it's going to mount as far as like feeling. I get Mike feeling weak. I get him feeling like, I'm hearing him say like, damn, no matter what the hell I do, it's always something. That's what I'm hearing him saying. It's like this man really wants to move towards healing, but he can't. And I'm getting like five people around him. I get five people that's causing him issues. I think with Mike too, he may want to establish the people that's around him. The people that's around him is everything. So with him, he's got like five people around him that's causing issues. He think he's got a whole family of people that's got his back, like he got his people. But I'm getting five people that's pulling, that's messing his stuff up energy wise. That's what I do.
Wow, you bring up an interesting point. Why do some people have a hard time making friends and some people effortlessly do it?
Well, you got to look at their reason why they don't have friends. Why are they saying they ain't got friends? Because some people just don't like people. Some people just don't do well around other people.
Wow.
I think everybody is a product depending on their life experiences. Right. I mean, when you're growing up and you don't have friends, or you're growing up and you're constantly fighting or combating people and so on, that tends to bleed into their adulthood, you know, unless something intervenes in order to make them be able to connect with people in the future.
Or like for me, it's like sometimes I'm around certain people, they have a little level of jealousy. And I've gotten that from time to time. It's like the jealous energy that's around me, I try to like stay away from it because I have a few core friends. But anytime somebody new comes into my life, that's why when you mentioned that I need to let people in, I'm very guarded because of that energy that I sometimes get.
But that's
people are jealous of success.
That's the thing, Christine. It's like when you choose to be in this industry, there's a lot of darkness. And it's like now you have got to do some level of spiritual protection. I understand that, like in regular life, what you're doing is absolutely sound and makes sense. But in this industry, it just don't work. It's a lot of in the industry. Mm-hmm. So what I would suggest is before you go on stage or you get out into the, you vision a violet light of protection. Are the color of an amethyst around you, so it keeps that bad energy from keeping from crazy people from messing with you.
Interesting, Coco. Okay. I'm colorblind. do that keep me from being like? Do that? I don't know. Does that help me or hinder me from attacks?
No, it doesn't, but it resonates. It makes a lot of sense. Like, it's actually symbolic of a lot. You being colorblind, meaning that you are just so open to everything that come towards you.
Wow.
So, but no, I don't think so. I think you're very protected. You have a very angelic energy around you. You got a lot of angels around you. Mm-hmm. No matter what somebody tries to break you down, you haven't even had some broken down moments. You bounce back.
You know what? I get that. And, you know, when I've been read before, it's like, you've been through so much. And I'm like, I never felt like I've been through. It don't feel insurmountable to me.
Right, because to somebody else, it will be a struggle. But to you, it's just like, that ain't nothing.
You become acclimated to all of your trials and tribulations, brother.
Dude, you was just in a hospital not too long ago. Did you just
I mean, it's been 6 years, you know, and then we dealt with COVID. Like, I'm really pragmatic in terms of how I look at life. Like, when I was in a hospital with COVID and they were talking about people dying and stuff, I was like, this is not it. I feel like I'm going to know when I'm there. I feel like I'm going to know.
But that's a hard time, Rodney, to another person. That a lot of people don't have that mindset of this ain't it. No, this ain't. That's not common.
Right.
But looking at it, you feeling like everybody think like this. No, they don't.
No. Wow.
And I just want to say this because it's funny you mentioned that amethyst stone. I have a pendant and I cannot find it for the past 2 years now. And it's an amethyst stone. And it was one of my favorite pendants. And it's not my birthstone, but I love amethyst.
Well, this is a thing about stones. If you get little crystals like an amethyst or clear quartz and things of that sort, if you lose it, you'll need it.
Okay. It's in my house somewhere. It fell somewhere in the house. I just can't find it.
But if you lost it, you don't need it. Just envision.
Okay. Just envision that aura.
Last question, Coco Fresh. I've been juicing. I bought this goddamn juicer. I love this thing.
Yes.
You know, I'm a big fan. I've been juicing everything around this motherfucker. I've been juicing left and right.
He juicing everything. You juicing carrots, corn.
Juicing, but have you been pooping?
Yes. Yeah. Well, when I do that kale, I'm gonna get. Oh. I did a kale and beet combo yesterday, and that had me getting some good clean doo doo.
How can you do kale?
Tell somebody else. If somebody watching, some of y'all be juicing and still be putting sugar in the juicer. That don't count.
No, you can't put. I mean, the fruits have got enough sugar. But to answer your question, Vic, first of all, the juice, you can always sweeten the juice. You got kale.
You got agave. You can use agave.
You can use agave and honey.
You can use apple. You can use apple. You can use pineapple. You can use beets. Mm-hmm. Like, you can use what else is this? What's the little seeds anyway, there's a ton of things you can use to sweeten up things that aren't sweet. Mm-hmm. Even carrots are sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. But kale, I just don't understand how it could be so high on our health list when it was just a garnishing, you know, on the plate, you know, many years ago. Now it's become this.
Oh yeah, you know that stuff changes over time though. Like, it's stuff that you know, we drink whole milk.
Yeah.
I don't know when I became lactose intolerant, I can't drink the whole milk now.
I used to kill it little. Now they touch it. I don't know. Yeah.
And I don't like the fake milk with my wife be buying lactate, but it don't taste good in my cereal.
What you think about almond milk?
Who?
Almond milk.
I don't know how long it lasts. How long do it last?
I think it lasts a good month.
Actually, I think a bit more.
Nigga, I had some almond milk. Left that shit in the refrigerator too long. It got thick as hell. I was like, I don't want no more of that.
They got different kinds of milks though. They got like wheat oat milk.
I be at the milk counter like this.
It's a lot. It's a lot. You can get coconut milk, all kind of milk.
Yeah.
I drink the lactate though. I drink the lactate.
All right, Coco Fresh. I signed on for a movie yesterday.
Ooh.
I think I feel like this guy, we got a cool rapport. And I've been looking for the guy that he and I can partner and make a series of films. Is this the guy?
Okay, so let's do a yes or no. Okay, Spirit, is the guy? Can I get a yes or no, please? I got a no.
Yeah.
And a no.
This nigga sent me a fucking contract, a picture of a contract. I was so mad at him.
Rodney already knew the answer. He had that.
That's your answer.
I said, is this?
That's the contract. That
he sent a photograph of it.
It's four sentences in the contract.
This ain't the whole thing. But the fact that it was a picture, I was like, he was like, you can't use that. I was like, nigga, no. I'm gonna go do this little movie and make this money though.
I know that's right.
You got your deposit.
Yeah, deposit should be coming today, so I know it's coming. Yeah. I believe in him. All right, hey Coco Fresh, how do people stay in touch, man?
Just go to on Instagram, Coco Fresh Comedy and Tarot, on TikTok, The Fresh Tarot, and those are my two main ones. So if you would like to get a reading, just message me, and you do need to pay for a reading. I don't do free readings, and don't come to me talking about all I got $20 and what can you, I don't do, no. So
No.
Tell them.
No, it's my people. It's my people.
You half a day.
Yeah, always.
Coco Fresh, always a pleasure. The Fresh Tarot, you can shoot her a Cash App. I'm about to shoot you some over because I appreciate you. You're a very, very kind human being. Christina Cougar, how do we stay in touch?
You can follow me on Instagram at Christine the Comedy Cougar, just like it's typed in, on my TikTok as well. And on Facebook, I'm Christine Carolyn the Comedy Cougar.
Now, let me ask you this, Coco Fresh. Christine got a deep voice. Is that ever going to go away?
No, that's sexy.
I got a deep voice in certain places and a high voice in others.
See, Christine be like discreet. Well, but Christine be getting, they be coming in on her.
Oh, my God.
You don't even know. I'm so excited, and I'm embracing it. I'm having fun with it. But right now, I'm just a little cautious with it because, you know, I feel like they're going to break my hip.
Don't you get no hip injury. Look.
I'm already Jamie.
To be honest, I like a woman with a deep voice. Like, I can't stand no. Matter of fact, I don't like people with high pitched voice, male or female.
There's definitely a sultriness to it.
Yeah,
a lot of men appreciate.
You know, here go Vic shooting his shot. All right, Vic.
We ain't shooting his shot. He just appreciates.
I'm not Mr. Wonderful.
You know Hollywood Hop.
I'm not Hollywood Mr. Wonderful.
hey, Vic, how do we stay in touch, bro?
Again, that's it. At Vic Mixon on Instagram, Victor Marshall on Facebook.
Appreciate you, Coco Fresh, Christine the Cougar. Victor Marshall, Ursula Esquire, thank you for coming on earlier. Such a great show today, guys. Thank you for being a part of this thing we're building. I don't know where this is going to end up, but I got to do it. Next week, we're moving to 10 a.m. Instead of 9 a.m., we're going to go from 10 a.m. to 12. So, well, it'll really be 10 a.m. to 11:30. But y'all rock with your boy. And we also may have a national sponsor coming on board real soon.
Yes.
Wow.
Don't tell him, Coco. Don't tell him yet.
Okay, I was about to say, I saw some stuff.
All right. All right, y'all. That's our show for today. My name is Rodney Perry. You're tuned in to Rodney Perry Live. Let's get up out of here. Y'all have a great day.
Get ready for America's number one funny man.
Funny man.
What? Hey. Make some noise. Ladies and gentlemen, from LA to New York, Chicago, Mississippi. Let's give it up for America's number one funny man, Rodney.